I'm on a jog to justice.
I'll take that. I'm on a darkened path to Dikaiosune. That's the only D I can think of. So there you go. I see your word and raise it.
Yeah. Is that what that's called?
Yeah. That's, there we go. Sure. We'll do that.
Yeah. Well, here at Geocaching Scripture, you never know what you're going to hear.
You never know. It's just going to come your way in the strangest of ways, you know, on a jog to justice, which sounds hilarious. You know,
it is a jog because I'm not a runner anymore.
Right. More of a long distance guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say shuffle. I couldn't find a word for that.
Well, I have a question for you.
All right.
Have you ever had a run-in or an interaction with farm animals?
Oh my.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I imagine. I mean, I guess we just did an episode where you had to water the goats. And I didn't know you watered goats, but.
You don't, it's not with a hose.
Okay.
You provide water for them to drink.
Okay. All right. So, all right. As you can tell, I'm kind of a city guy.
Yeah. If you water them, they grow faster.
Hey, I'm a city guy, but I have farm cousins who have made enough fun of me that I can tell when someone's pulling my leg. So,
okay.
I won't be watering any goats. One of my memories of the farm growing up and visiting in Nebraska was we shot bottle rockets at Grandpa's cows. I can't believe we did that.
I can't believe you did either.
Yeah, and the cows, you know, the cows have this sort of lazy, graceful stare, and they just kind of look at you. And we thought it was a good idea to shoot them with bottle rockets. But for me, that's like several bad things about that. One of the main things was, as I get older and maybe less interesting, is that I didn't realize how expensive cows are. You know, it's an awful lot of money that you're just like shooting fireworks at there. And I don't think Grandpa would have been a fan. He didn't know we were doing it.
might have spoiled the milk too.
yeah, scare them and, you know, whatever, bruise up the meat, you know. But the fact is that, you know, a bottle rocket hits a cow and not much happens. We didn't do it very long because they just sort of go and like walk in the other direction, and that's about it.
That is interesting. So, I mean, it didn't startle and make them run?
Not really. No, I think it was middle of Nebraska summer. It's already hot. There's tornadoes every other week. Shook them.
They're too lazy to run. Oh.
So how about you?
Well, I used to milk cows.
Okay. That's more intimate than bottle rockets.
Yeah, I used to you get really good at milking a cow and feeding the cats at the same time, because the cats would come up and you could just squirt it right in their mouth. And they like that. But one time I got a little carried away and the cow got upset at me and stepped in the milk bucket. So I got in trouble.
I can't imagine that really helps with the milk.
That was a bucket we had to toss. So
this milk is a little gamey.
I used to collect the eggs, and sometimes the chickens would lay eggs in the goat pen, and so you're squatting down to find an egg, and you get butted by the goat.
Oh man!
So. Now, my family didn't have cows or we just had the goats that I talked about in a previous story where we were renting a farmhouse at the time. But I had a friend of mine. I was at his farm all the time. So sure. We dealt with cows, geese, chickens, goats, and a horse. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time on a farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yep. That was our big vacation every year, was to go out to the Nebraska country and go see all the cattle. But it coming from the monotonous suburban subdivision sprawl. I mean, the farm was just an oasis.
Yeah.
There was so much going on, you know.
There were, so you hit an electric fence.
On occasion, yes, yes. Yeah, or stepped on a bull snake, whatever happened to be. The surprises waiting for you. But even those were better than, you know, hey, look, there's another Wendy's, you know, like.
Yeah. Funny, I think about my kids never had the, I don't think any of my kids have ever, none of them have ever milked a cow. They've seen cows. I've taken them to farms. But yeah, they've all these experiences I had, they didn't have. We've become citified.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. You got to go teach them how it's done. So. Now, there's a farming passage that I've always found a little confusing, and it's one of the verses that sounds really Bible-y. You know, it has some rhetorical punch.
I like the term Bible-y.
Bible-y. Yes.
I'm going to use that one.
Yep. Kind of like when people, you know, jump into King James when they're in the middle of their prayer, and look thou upon thy servant, and you're like, what? Where do we go? Why are we in a Shakespeare play right now?
Would it be appropriate in the middle of the prayer to say, that's a little too Bible-y?
That's a little too Bible-y. Come on. Come on. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, et cetera, et cetera.
Sorry, I interrupted you. You were making a point, and I just went Bible-y on you.
I am not at all making a point. Don't worry. We're in no danger of that. But yeah, I remember hearing this, you know, from an African-American brother who's, you know, the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox when the thing. And I'm going, yes, brother. What does that mean? So the passage in question is 1 Corinthians 9, 8 through 10. It says, it's Paul speaking. He says, do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope, and the threshers should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. So Paul quotes this, and this is Paul once again discussing, you know, I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
And Paul loveth to discuss this.
That's a little Bible-y.
It's very Bible-y, yes. And it's kind of a drum he likes to bang on, which is, you know, we won't begrudge him that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that Paul uses this particular passage. He quotes it again in 1 Timothy 15. And so he's discussing payment and money, and he's actually quoting Deuteronomy 25:4. It says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain. And anyway, that's our episode.
Okay, thank you, and tune in again next week when we discuss.
But it's one of these things where, you know, as we were just talking about, we might slip scripture into what we're saying, and I'm sure it was the same with Paul, you know?
Yeah.
And even more so, Paul was a rabbi, so he's going to grab onto all kinds of things and going to know what is probably a very obscure passage.
Yeah.
And I don't know, really, and I should know, and I apologize, but I don't know that if that was used as common rhetoric. You know, was that a common phrase? Do not muzzle the ox, you know?
Well, I mean, it ties in with what he's talking about. Certainly. You know, when he talks about the fact that he, you know, I do this for free. Normally you would pay somebody for this, but I do this for free. So it does tie in with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think it's good to remember that it was not entirely offsides for Paul to have that conversation about payment. And it's in for us, it's funny because he says it so often. But we, you know, we don't realize these, first of all, are letters written years apart to different people.
Yes.
And in that society at the time, you paid a guy to do this kind of work. And you always did. And it was a big status symbol to have like this guy on the payroll.
You're right.
So for Paul, he's not just talking about how great he is and you guys should be grateful again.
No, but I think you made a point there that these letters were written over a period of time and they were also sent to different groups. And though they were shared, we don't know how quickly they were shared and how often they were shared. So he is making, it's not like he's harping on the point. He's right. making the same point to different groups of people.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So this Deuteronomy 25, this thing about muzzling an ox appears in a list of housekeeping rules about domestic life as God's people. How to deal with workers, how to deal with sojourners who come through their villages, how to treat slaves, how to resolve domestic disputes. Very much, you know, part of those Deuteronomic readings that you're like, oh, let's turn the audio Bible on 1.5 speed, you know, and have it like, you know, like, let's get through.
So basically, it's about how to treat others.
Well, yeah, and that's what's interesting there. So this often gets read as an animal rights bit. And there are passages in the Bible that talk about cruelty to animals. Not very many, but there are a few.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, Rick, it doesn't make sense in context for this to be like, oh, by the way, be nice to the ox.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, while you're treating your servant good. Oh, yeah, don't forget the ox.
Yeah, yeah. Like, pretty hefty stuff about, you know, when to execute someone, how to, you know, how to resolve conflict and stuff like that. And then and at the end, be nice to your domestic animals. Really, it doesn't, that would take a left turn. So, and part of the thing here is that why wouldn't you not feed your own ox? So, and people didn't have to be reminded. It'd be like, by the way, put oil in your car. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I have an incentive to put oil in my car.
Right.
And the amount of loss of grain that an ox would eat while it was doing this is a very small amount of compared to the output. And yeah. So it would be, it's entire, you're within your capitalistic incentive to let the ox eat. So why would you have to be reminded of that? and what it seems to be is that it's talking about a borrowed animal. So a borrowed ox that's treading out the grain. You're borrowing, you know, this is Samuel borrowing from Obadiah. Not those guys, but I'm trying to think of biblical names.
Yeah, yeah.
Biblically names.
Yeah.
And it seems to be then about this relationship between two people, not as much about your relationship with an animal.
Okay.
Similar to return the rental car with a full tank. You know,
yeah, or don't drive it like an idiot just because it's a rental car. Think of somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. If you borrow my snowblower, you know, get all the ice off of it before you put it back in my garage.
Yeah.
That's a Wisconsin example for you, but...
No, it's like I had a friend of mine borrowed my tiller, and it snapped a bolt.
Hmm.
And rather than call me about it, he put another bolt in there that was not a snappable bolt. And so the next time it snagged, it destroyed the engine.
Oh, right. Oh.
Yeah. And he just returned it like that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so what you're saying is it's take care of the things when somebody take care, just as you would take care of people, take care of the things that they loan you or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. It becomes a justice conversation between two people. Mm-hmm. How you use somebody else's appliances or utilities. And that's what an ox would have been considered. And that's what makes it interesting that, why Paul puts himself in that place. Paul actually compares himself to a service animal. So that sort of deepens this metaphor that Paul is using rather than don't muzzle the ox, meaning pay me for my benefit, as if we're talking about animal rights or something. But he's saying, I belong to God. God has lent me to you. God has lent me to you, and therefore you should take care of me. Because I am, in the end, nothing more than that. I am a pack mule for the gospel. I am just that, and that's all I ever want to be. And so he chooses, instead he could have chosen other metaphors about how to treat your brother fairly or you know, properly compensate people who work for you, indentured servants or something like that. But instead, he chooses this metaphor of this service animal, which I think in the end is, you know, this is Paul talking, the great Paul. And he's the one who says, really, I'm just a service animal. And at the end of the day, you're even supposed to take care of those.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.